Hear the word of the Lord for a meditation this day. The word is near you, as in your mouth and in your heart. It is the word of faith we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Let us pray. Thank you. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your living word, for this rhema, this living voice. And Lord, you tell us that this rhema is in our hearts and in our mouths. And Lord, if we profess, confess, or declare, whatever word we choose, that it has power, that it can speak into the lives of people today, because it is your word, it is your truth. So Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. Dear Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today is the first Sunday in Lent. And one of the lessons that we almost always hear in the first Sunday in Lent is the 40 days of Jesus' temptation from the different gospel accounts. The 40 days when Satan was allowed to tempt Jesus. And we hear in the gospel lesson according to Luke chapter 4 that Jesus was tempted throughout the 40 days, but it was only at his weakest point when he was hungry that Satan comes in person to try and get him to use his power, God's power, his power, to change stones into bread. He uses scripture, albeit half-truths, to try and get Jesus to do things that he wants him to do. And I thought I could preach on that. I thought that preaches. You know, you can talk about the fact that Jesus is tempted with Scripture and responds with Scripture, right? You could talk about that. You could talk about the fact that it's especially evident Satan comes to us at our weakest points. He comes to us at our weakest point of need. He knows where our needs are, and he always attacks us at the weakest point. He wants us to doubt whether we are children of God, because that's how he always starts his comments to Jesus. If you are the Son of God, he wants us to always doubt whether we're really children of the King, right? We can talk about all those things. But I thought that St. Paul did an admirable job, inspired by the Holy Spirit, as he wrote to the church in Rome to clarify what the power of the word means for us who live today. And he uses a word that's interesting, because at first I thought that word, simply translated, would be logos or scripture, which is graphia. I thought those would be the words, but it's not. It's a word that you probably heard if you've been around the church for a while. And it's rhema. You heard that word before? Depends on if I'm trying to do the Midwestern translation of it. So if I say it differently a few times, it's only because I'm trying to figure out how it's actually pronounced here. So I found out something a long time ago that when you've been raised to say bin is bean and against is against. No, I don't even know what the right way is anymore. But the reality is things do change in the context. But I wanted to talk about the fact that this word that St. Paul declares, the word is in our hearts and it's in our mouths. And it's interesting because when you hear the word confess, how many people think of it means a little black room where there's a curtain and you talk to the person on the other side of the curtain? How many of you think when you hear the word confess, that's what it is? It's understandable, right? Because what do you see in movies? When people use the word confess, what do they think? Pardon me? Yeah, either the little black confessional box, or they may think of Tiger Woods standing there like a robot. Very emotional, you know. Or what? You know, when they think of confess, they think of it in the sense of saying you're sorry, right? Isn't that what most people would think when you hear the word confess? Am I wrong? Maybe I'm misperceiving. Isn't that what most people think when they hear the word confess? No. Is that from personal experience, Renee? The interrogation. Okay. Ah, okay. But the word, the word that's in our hearts and in our mouths is a living voice. Rhema means a living voice. It's more than just graphia. It's more than just something written down. It's more than just word. It's living. And he uses that word specifically because it is more than just something written on a page. It's more than just something that you can pick up and read. Because I'll tell you something, I have read many books, and it has been way easier to get through a huge novel that's that thick, even though I'm not really a fan of reading. It is easier to get through that novel than it is through the Word of God. Any of you experience this? I mean, if you look at it, I have different Bibles in my office. I have some that are really thin. If I gave you that, I can guarantee you that you would read a novel a lot faster than you read it. Because there is something powerful about God's Word, isn't there? And as long as we live in this world, as long as we're affected by sin, which from the beginning of our time, as we heard on Ash Wednesday, dust you are and to dust you shall return, we're going to be afflicted by this. This is who we are. This is simple human nature. And as long as we're in this world, we are going to struggle to take that simple word that is, you know, it's in, you can get all kinds of translations or paraphrases. Like the one I use for devotions is the New Living Translation. One I like is the Message. And these are what we call paraphrases. They're people's trying to make it very simple so that people would read it like a novel. And yet, it's really difficult on this side of heaven for us to do that, right? If you have the Bible on your desk, I'm telling you a testimony here. If I have the Bible on the desk and a news article on the desk, guess what I'm drawn to? I should be drawn to God's Word, right? Because really that's the most important thing, but I guarantee you that I'm kind of drawn towards the news article. I'm not like the First Lady. I can't avoid news. It's just kind of the way I'm wired. I like to know what's going on. So, I guess what I'm asking of you today is to understand the significance of this word confess, because it's more than just confessing or asking for forgiveness. It's more. The word in Greek is homologio, and it means to profess, to proclaim, to declare what you believe. Similar to the Latin word credo, it's our definition of who we are. It's our confessing what we believe. And that's why it was so important what St. Paul says in Romans is that we have this in our hearts and it's in our mouths. It's because in our hearts we know the power of faith. We know that we trust in the Lord. We know that we are His children. We know the power that He has to change our lives. But how many times are we satisfied with just knowing it in our hearts? It's easy to be satisfied with just knowing in our hearts, isn't it? That's what he's saying. He says, you're justified in your heart. You trust in the Lord in your heart. And yet, that's what really we need in order to be saved, is to trust in the Lord in our heart. But what he's challenging us to do is he is saying, be a person who not only knows the truth in your heart, because it's in your heart and it's in your mouth, right? Isn't that what he just said? He said the rhema is in your mouth and it's in your heart. And he's saying if you believe in your heart and you're justified in your heart, then how can you not confess it with your mouth? And I would go further, how can you not confess it with your life? If you know it in your heart, how can you not believe it and confess it in your life? Isn't it? You understand what I mean? And I just think that's a wonderful gospel message, is that, you know, and the reason I wanted to talk about that word confess is because I said something to someone the other day and they gave me the look like, what are you talking about? And I use it quite a bit. And it's a word that we use in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod a lot. We say when we, you know, and we think everybody understands us. Funny thing. We do this a lot. Have you not heard this? I think you probably heard this before, that we are a confessional Lutheran church. Have you heard this before? No? Whew. Oh, yeah, everybody's okay. So I was thinking maybe I'm not so bad. Because I use it, you know, I just use it whenever I'm among a group of pastors or people who work in the church. I'll often say, well, I'm a confessional Christian. And they'll look at me like, oh, you must have to go to confession a lot, you know? Because that's the first meaning of that word. And yet, you know what it means is it comes from that word homologios. Homologio. Am I saying it right? Oh, got to remember. The word means to profess, to proclaim, to declare what you believe in your heart. And as a church, we've believed from the beginning that it's important to write down, it's important to declare, it's important to confess what we believe. Someone said when they were speaking at a Methodist convention, they had to make sure to reference Wesley and to talk about experience. And he said, and then they went the next week, they had to speak at a Lutheran gathering, and they had to make sure to reference Scripture to show exactly where they were getting it from. And they said when they went to the Pentecostal, the next time they went to the Assembly of God, and they said they had to tell them exactly the date and time the Spirit told them. And he said, it's interesting, when you go to different churches, you have to look at their history. And he said, the weird thing about Lutherans is they always want to know, where does it come from in the Word? And I said, well, I make no apologies for that. Because that is what makes me a confessional Christian. Is I believe that before we say something, we got to know, where does it come from? Where is the authority? Where is the power? It's not because I can make an argument for it. It's not because I've experienced it. Those are helpful. But it's because I believe it because it's written. And the reason I say that is because how did Jesus defend himself? It's interesting because if you look at Jesus' life, you start out with the first part of his ministry where he's taken out by the Spirit of the desert, where he's given the word, albeit corrupted from Satan, and he returns it by sharing the word in its truth with Satan, right? He refutes Satan by sharing God's word. It's interesting, on the cross, later on in his ministry, he's really, when he's dealing with Satan, he's confessional. He's declaring the word to him, right? What's happening on the cross? We're going to talk about this later on in Lent. Is he's praying. Still using the word, okay? But he's praying. It's a different type of demeanor, right? He's really being confessional when he's out in the desert dealing with Satan, or when he's on the top of the temple. He's being confessional. He's declaring the truth of God's word. He's declaring it with no hesitation. You should not put the Lord your God to the test. Man does not live on bread alone. These are scripture, and he is declaring this living word, this rhema. He is declaring it. It is written. And brothers and sisters, that's my prayer for you. Know your word. This passage of scripture is from chapter 10 of Romans. And it's in Romans chapter 10 that we hear these words. Faith comes through hearing, and hearing through the word of God. I would like to challenge you as we begin this Lenten journey. 46 days. We've already started Ash Wednesday. Take time during this Lenten journey to read Scripture. Take time during this Lenten journey to reflect. Take time during this Lenten journey to pray. Because if you do, I know the Lord will dramatically change your heart and your life. Not only will He change your heart and your life, but I know the power of the Word will change the lives of people around you. Because it's my belief that as you get into the Word and as you see the power of this rhema, this truth, this living voice, this word of God that's living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. As you get into this word, it cannot but change lives around you. Because all of a sudden, instead of giving people your opinion or your experience or quoting Martin Luther or Charles Wesley or whoever else, John Wesley, you will start to share the very word of God and you will become a confessional Christian. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be anything else. That's why I'm not saying Lutheran. Because so many people say, well, then you just believe in Luther. No, I don't. I believe he existed. I believe he was a man, a sinful man. But I believe in the Word. And I believe in Jesus Christ. Because isn't that the promise here? Everyone who believes in Jesus Christ as Lord, right? Jesus as Lord, will be... Isn't that the ultimate promise? Isn't that why it's important for us to confess? Do I believe that if someone was brought into the kingdom as a child of God and they can only trust and they haven't had the ability, they can't talk, they don't have the ability to confess with their mouths, Jesus is Lord, that they're not going to be saved? No. I think that's up to God. That's why we baptize infants. Because we believe that they have a greater faith than most of us. They have a greater trust than most of us. But I believe as soon as they get of age and as they're immersed in Scripture and as they are taught by their parents the truth of what we believe, then they will have no choice but to confess that Jesus is Lord, right? And they will know the power of salvation. Brothers and sisters, I pray that you will recognize that as a child of God, the Word is in your heart, it is in your mouth. And the Lord is inviting you to confess the truth and the power of the Word. Because just as it made Satan disappear when Jesus used it, that living word, that truth, has the power to deal with him today, especially now that he knows he's defeated. And it has the power to help us to reach people and to let them know the truth of salvation. It simply is all those who believe in Jesus as Lord and confess him are saved. Isn't that wonderful? It's so simple. And yet if we don't tell people, that's why this St. Paul asked the question, how will they hear? How will they know? How will they understand? If we don't confess the truth to people, how will they know? Listen to his words. He struggles with this. He says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. He says, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Brothers and sisters, it is my prayer that during this Lenten season, you would have beautiful feet. That you would be those messengers. That you would be confessional Christians. And that you would declare the word without apology. And I mean, by apology, I don't mean defense of it, but I mean without saying, I'm sorry, but I have to tell you this. Be bold, because the word has power, and it changes lives. And God has given us the privilege of being those messengers of hope. One of the things that you may have noticed that has happened over the last few weeks, because of the many things that are happening here at Cross Resurrection, we have not had God sightings. And so I'm going to close the sermon today by inviting you to be the sermon by sharing with us some God sightings. And what I mean by that is that we normally on the third Sunday have had the opportunity for people to share what God has been doing in their life and share how the Word has impacted them. So I'm going to invite you now, if you wish, I have a microphone here and I'll bring it around, and I'd like to hear how the Word that is in our hearts and in our mouths, and as we confess it, how it is changing lives around us. Anybody want to share? A few people? Okay.
Not this Tuesday, but the Tuesday before, I was visiting someone I had met on a bus, and his name's Reggie Dion, and all I knew is he liked to box, and So I'd shared the gospel a little bit with him before, and so I started in with him again. And just we were talking, and turns out he's 16. But as I asked him if he had any other questions, he said, "Well, is Jesus the God?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "You have any other questions?" He said, "So what about Mary?" So I explained a little bit about Mary and Jesus. And so I found out that he had come from Guinea, West Africa. And I asked him, "So are you Maninka? Your parents Maninka as well?" His parents had come with him. And, or actually his parents had come first and then he came. But he said, "Yeah, about 10 or 12 years ago, I was in South Bend, Indiana, with a church, and we were praying for the Maninka people of West Africa because we'd sent missionaries there." And it's really neat the way the Lord says, "Ask of me and I'll make the nations your inheritance and the ends of the earth your possession. If you believe, you'll receive whatever you ask for in prayer." So I'd encourage you to ask and to share the good news, because you don't know when you'll get to be that missionary as well.
Thank you.
I won't, I promise I won't monopolize. I was going to talk about something else, but I will quickly get to that soon. That man is here because, I truly believe, because 3 years ago, I met that man on a bus. Mm-hmm. He came to this area from another ministry from Missouri, I think, South Arkansas. Mm-hmm. And he was looking for a church home. And at the time, I was going to St. Luke, and I invited him. So I spoke up. I spoke up when God gave me the opportunity. And that's why he's here today. So now he has the ability to share with you what he did on a bus. Second of all, I'm the vice president of our local CMA chapter, and our president lost his father-in-law. And so we had these big plans for this weekend, and since I was given the authority to step in for our president, I decided to change the complete schedule of our chapter. And we went and supported him at his funeral. And the God sighting is that I saw a lot of his church family there supporting him as well. And they supported him throughout the entire funeral, and I was very impressed to see that because of the commitment of Christ, we were there for them.
Thank you. Awesome. Anyone else? Nate.
Last week on Sunday, my friend called, my good friend since like third grade called from the hospital. He's been in the hospital like three times and almost died because he's been suffering from addiction and stuff. And so I was kind of mad at him just for kind of giving up on himself. And cause I just felt like he was like prepared to just give into it. And so, but I was going to leave and I prayed with my parents before we left. And went to the hospital, and when I got there, he was just kind of like, "Well, it's a disease, and you know, I've tried stuff, but nothing's happening." And he felt he'd been trying to call his parents, and they kicked him out of the house. And so then I prayed with him, and I gave him a Bible, and he really liked it, and it wasn't like a preachy thing. It was just kind of like, you know, we're good friends, and he understands. And so then I went to the bathroom, and I came back, and his dad was there. And so that was just kind of an immediate sign that, like, God was there for him and his parents were there for him. And I talked to him yesterday, too, and he's been sober for a week. So
wow.
It's really awesome.
Praise God. Awesome. Wonderful.
This is a God sighting, and I'd like to thank Mr. Rick Stauffer in the presence of the brother in here. I was very stressed yesterday. I was photographing a wedding, and two pictures into it, my camera died. And it's the first time in 25 years I went to a wedding with only one camera. And it's the only time I needed two cameras. I've never prayed and been stressed out of my brain simultaneously. I've never actually experienced that peculiar phenomenon. And I told Joanne, I don't know if God hears those kind of prayers, but that was the best I could do. So I was trying to locate a second camera, driving down Washington Avenue to my boss's house. And a little spiritual sunshine came in and called Rick Stauffer. All right. So I got back, and Rick was just kind of the voice of calm in my storm at that moment. And honest to God, I cannot underscore enough that it was a storm. But the upshot is the wedding went off wonderfully, beautifully. The Woodwards were blessed. The Adams family, I joked them about them. They were blessed. It was a very, and it was a cool wedding in that Ted, hair doctor, gave his Lutheran spiel and didn't pull any punches as he's prone to do. But it was really cool. He just spoke to this couple where they were at, and it was like, wow, Ted Junkins, man, he's still got that Lutheran fire going in him. But I just want to thank Rick publicly for being a brother in my time in need in a very visceral, and I do mean visceral, way. I told him I was going to give him a big juicy kiss this morning, but I'll, all right.
Thank you from the pastor.
We'll let it go at that, Rick.
Thank you. Some experiences are just too hard to handle.
Hello. This past semester at my school, I had the chance to take a philosophy course. And it's not like a normal philosophy course where you just learn about old Greek men. It's kind of like discovering your own personal philosophy. And part of that is the council experience, where every person in the class gets to sit in front of the whole class and just kind of talk about their life and what they've experienced. And during my council, I got to talk a lot about my religion. And part of it is, after your council, you receive this document where everybody has written a reaction to what you talked about. And so we got our document the last day of class, and I went home and I read the entire thing, and a lot of people in it said like stuff like, your faith really amazes me, like, stay close to God. And one of my friends, like, they're anonymous, but I knew it was his, he said, like, you know that I'm an atheist, but I'm going to tell you, sometimes I pray to God. And just, I think part of that is inspired by you. And so it was an amazing thing to just read that and see how people really are receptive to people who will open up about their faith.
Thank you. Let's give them a hand. These are all people that have... that have been bold to confess in different ways the truth of God. Anyone else? Oh, Gene.
I always get a little emotional when I stand up and talk to a group like this, but 2 weeks ago, is this working?
You got to put it closer.
Okay, two weeks ago... I wrote on the back of the green card, please pray for divine intervention in the process of changing our residence. In other words, we're going to a different place. We have to leave our house because of the steps, and we're not able to negotiate steps in a tri-level as well as we did 45 years ago. So anyway, I wrote on the back the card, please, we are asking for divine intervention in this process. So we put the house on the market the next day, February 15. Within 8 hours, someone asked us to go through it, and to make a long story short, within 24 hours, we had a bid that was about $25,000 higher than the original. That was higher than the original attorney that we talked to a month ago. Well, no, I guess it was the last fall, one to put it on the market for. So anyway, whoever was praying as a result of that card. we thank you. Now, the next on this card today, I wrote for Divine Guidance in providing a new residence for us. We don't have any place to go. So we're trying to avoid living off the tailgate of two men in a truck for a while. So prayer certainly works.
Next time I need to sell a house, I'm going to talk to you. But I'll talk to God first. Praise God. That's cool. I'm sure we'll figure out where you're going to be living soon.
I wasn't going to share, but when you said anybody else, I knew I was supposed to share. I went to see my chiropractor on Friday, and he's really open to talking about spiritual things. I've invited him before, so make sure he's nice. Anyway, he's open to talking about spiritual things, even though he's not like a churchgoer necessarily. But anyway, we were talking in the course of conversation about how God sees the big picture. We just see what's in our face. And, you know, we were having this conversation, and all of a sudden, this relates to the Word, speaking the Word. All of a sudden, I said, you know, in the Bible, in 1 Corinthians, it says, we see through a mirror dimly. And all of a sudden, he literally, like, when he heard that, he put his hands on the chair that he was standing next to and just was like, wow. And I'm like, how powerful was that word? I never would have thought, you know, just speak the word to him. But he literally stood there, stunned, and it really touched his heart.
Praise God. It's so cool to see the word and the power that the word has. So thank you for sharing. One more, and then we'll move on.
Okay, I'm going to try to make this story as short as I possibly can, but it happened 62 years ago when I went in when I went into school. I started in a Catholic school, and I apologize to anybody who has a Catholic background, but in the early 40s, it was a lot different than it is now. When I started school, my mother and father had met after having been divorced, married, and had me. But according to the Catholic Church, I was considered illegitimate. When I went to school, the nun that I had took that to heart. She would not let any of the other kids in the class talk to me or play with me or even look at me. She was extremely cruel to me. Every time I mispronounced a word or didn't spell it right on a paper, she hit me with a ruler. I was the only child in class that got this. Every day we had to go to Mass, and every day she would take us out into the hall, form a semicircle around a life-size statue of the Sacred Heart. For those of you who don't know, the Sacred Heart has a crown of thorns, blood running down off of his head, running from his hands and his feet, his robe pulled back to show a bloody heart. And every day she set me in the middle of that circle and told all the kids in the class that I, Susie Dunleavy, was the reason that Jesus looked that way. That I was the one that caused him that bitter pain. I did that to him, and God was mad at me. Then she would watch us into the church that was God's house. I was scared to death to go in there. If I did that to his son, not even remembering it, what was God going to do to me? One day, a priest came into our room and taught us about guardian angels and how God gave each of us a guardian angel. I began to pray really hard for that guardian angel because I had no friends and I was scared of this nun. Mm-hmm. One day when she had me in the middle of that familiar semicircle, a warmth came across me and I noticed wings come out from either side to cover the faces of those children, and the nun's voice receded in the background. The angel was standing next to me. Mm-hmm. He told me in my heart that God was not mad at me. Oh, I'm sorry, this gets me verklempt every time. That he loved me very, very much, and that he did not blame me for Jesus' death, that I was not solely responsible for the death of his son, and that this angel was going to be with me from now on. He said, in a couple of weeks, you're going to get very, very ill and be taken from this school. You'll be close to death, but don't worry, you will survive, and you will never have to come back here again. 2 weeks later, when I was in school, and I was so happy all that time because I would let that angel walk next to me to church, and I would scoot over in the pew that I alone was allowed to sit in because no one was allowed to be with me. I was a leper. I would make room for him. 2 weeks later, the nun went to hit me with that ruler, and the ruler flipped out of her hand and smashed against a chair and broke. Then I, when I was on the way home, I got very, very sick. I don't remember the next 4 years. I know I had rheumatic fever, and I was close to death and in and out of fever a lot. But I'm going to tell you, God answers prayers, and I have no doubt in my mind that to this day, at this moment, this angel is by my side because God said so.
Praise God. The word is near you. It's in your heart. It's in your mouth. May you know the power of God's word. And may you be a confessional Christian now and always. Now let us stand as we confess our faith with the truth.